this phenomenal documentary series on Adolf Hitler and World War II. Go to thegreateststorynevertold.tv. You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The United States has become the evil empire, where a massive propaganda apparatus, nominally private, works in conjunction with history's most technologically advanced police and security state to rig elections, crush all dissent, and destroy the lives of any who oppose the group, which sits at the apex of power, the world's wealthiest and most powerful group, organized Jewry. When a few angry and totally disorganized and disunited protesters walk into the United States Capitol to petition the Congress for a redress of grievances after a blatantly stolen election, the system grabs the opportunity and calls the protest a coup attempt and an insurrection in order to demonize, criminalize, isolate, destroy, imprison, or kill all opposition to their rule. The nominal leaders we see on our television sets are not the real leaders. The quote-unquote opposed parties are really united on everything that matters to the real rulers. Replacing whites with non-whites, concentrating wealth in the hands of Jews and their treasonous allies, the megacorporations that now decide who may speak and what they may say in the new red square of electronic and internet media. Yet millions, millions of white Americans now know that we will not be allowed to vote our way out. We will not be allowed to petition or protest our way out of our encirclement, slavery, dispossession, and ultimate genocide. In fact, we will not be allowed to tread one inch outside whatever limits our masters have set this week on pain of having our income canceled, our freedom curtailed, our right to speak or hold a job, and soon likely even use currency at all, taken away. These millions who now know these things, or most of these things, did not know them just a few weeks ago. It is our job in the National Alliance to explain these things to them in depth, so they truly understand what is being done to them and to their families. It is our job to recruit the best and brightest among them to our alliance so we grow stronger. And it is our job to offer guidance and light in this darkening land. Very few men in history have been as qualified to give us the guidance we need as Dr. William Luther Pierce, the founder of the National Alliance. This week, I begin a series I call moving forward in a dark time. Guidance from William Pierce. This program is part one of that series, which will air over our next few American Dissident Voices programs. It is based on several works by Dr. Pierce, none of which have been offered in audio form before. Listen. In the year which lies ahead of us, we must accomplish many things. Let me review the situation in which we find ourselves and the way we have responded to that situation so far. Perhaps the easiest way to begin is to refer to the film we saw here last Sunday, Triumph of the Will. That film showed us the triumphant outcome of an enormous and heroic act of will by an idealistic, spiritually elite minority of the German people to free themselves from Jewish tyranny and cure themselves of the Jewish disease. After World War I, the Jews had Germany exactly where they wanted her. She was defeated, demoralized, broke, and hungry. In other words, down. And so the Jews began kicking her. They launched a successful communist revolution in Bavaria under Kurt Eisner. All over Germany, they began acquiring the newspapers that were not already in their hands. And as the economy collapsed, they took over more and more German businesses, homes, farms, shops, and factories. They slandered the German fighting men who had made such an heroic sacrifice at the front, much in the same way they have incited the spoiled and mindless dregs of our own population here in the United States against all that is healthy and strong. And everywhere they spread the infection of liberalism, promoting every form of vice and degeneracy in the name of freedom. Homosexuality, drugs, prostitution, pornography, Negro music, degenerate art. All these things were pushed in Berlin and in the other major German cities to such an extent that Jews and liberals today still look back fondly on the decadence that they generated in the so-called Weimar Republic, which was Germany in the period from 1919 to 1933. But the German people still had a strong and healthy minority among them, which did not succumb to the Jewish poison. They defied the law. They defied the Jews and traitors who had taken over their country, and they secretly acquired weapons, and they trained themselves, and they fought the criminals who were destroying their people. Jews like Eisner and Rathenau, they shot down on the street like the dogs they were. One of the top communists, a Jewess named Rosa Luxemburg, got her brains smashed out with a rifle butt and her corpse thrown into a canal. And Hitler and the people who worked with him built a fighting movement which eventually won the support of the great masses of the German people. And they took Germany away from the Jews and the liberals. What we saw last week was the outcome of a 14-year struggle and the beginning of the building of a new German society, a strong, vital, healthy German society with the same spiritual basis that we in the Alliance have today. In achieving his victory, in his 14-year struggle against the Jews and their allies, Hitler did not compromise or equivocate. He did not pretend to be a conservative or a right-winger. He did not have any clever plan for sneaking up on the Jews from behind. He fought them openly and straightforwardly. He denounced them for the destructive parasites and the liars that they were. He announced that he intended to free his people from their influence, and he did it. Now, what he did in Germany inspires all of us, I am sure. There are few, if any, episodes in human history more beautiful and heroic than that which took place in Germany in the years 1919 to 1945, the rise and triumph of National Socialism. That is why the film Triumph of the Will has such a powerful effect on all of us. And we can learn many things from a study of the struggle of Germany. But there are also some very significant differences between the German situation and ours today. For one thing, the Germans, even in the most degenerate years of the Weimar era, never sank to the moral and spiritual depths to which Americans have sunk today. The Jews did not have television or big tech in those days, and so they were not able to enforce the rigid conformity in public opinion in Germany that they are able to enforce in America. The Germans had a long and proud tradition of resistance to alien influences, which we simply do not have here. And the Germans did not have some 100 million or so blacks, mulattoes, quadroons, mestizos, Middle Easterners, Far Easterners, and every other kind of non-white or half-white or three-quarters white mongrel imaginable in their midst. They were all white, and they had only one enemy in their midst to focus on. Well, despite the great physical and moral differences between the two situations, we have so far begun our struggle here in much the same way the Germans began theirs. That is, by openly and straightforwardly exposing and attacking the Jews and the race traitors who are destroying America. We have never equivocated or compromised. We have said as loudly and plainly as we know how what is wrong here and what needs to be done about it. But we are not receiving from the American people the sort of response that the German National Socialists received from theirs. We are growing too slowly, and that is very dangerous. We are not recruiting new members anywhere near fast enough. We are not building our audience fast enough. We are not increasing our resources fast enough to ensure that we will be able to become truly viable before it becomes too late. We must strive to reach a point beyond which the long-term survival of our alliance, of our spiritual community, and of the truth which it embodies can be assured no matter what happens, no matter how bad conditions become or what form of repression the enemy tries against us. We must cross that threshold before the Jews head us off at the pass, so to speak. So that means that even though we are holding our own now, even though we could continue publishing our printed membership bulletin and publishing National Vanguard and holding our meetings indefinitely. We must do something else. We must reach the pass before the Jews do. The question is, how? How do we grow faster than we are growing now? I have thought long and hard about this question, and I have listened to many suggestions from our members, both here and around the country. I have been able to find only two possible answers. The first answer would be to physically attack our enemies. But in today's increasingly militarized police and surveillance and security state, we are not strong enough to do that with any hope of winning the battle, the war, or many hearts and minds, so ineffective would we be. So that would be a total non-starter, no matter how good it might feel to finally engage our enemies in the war they have started against us. Anything we do must be planned as carefully as it can be to fit into a strategy for reaching our goals. In this case, for crossing our threshold of viability. And I am convinced that violence now would not help us reach that threshold. And that is simply because the situation here is so different from what it was in Germany, in terms of the attitude of the public and the sort of reaction we could expect. We certainly do not want to go out in a blaze of glory. We want to be here in a decade, in a century, in 10,000 years. The issue at stake is far too important for futile gestures. So, if we rule out that answer for now, we must turn instead to the second one, and that is to place more emphasis on building our foundations than we have in the past. That means a shifting of emphasis from attacking the enemy to teaching, preaching, and developing our resources for recruiting. It means less emphasis on the negative, less emphasis on immediate problems and provocations, and more emphasis on the positive, on our long-range goal of striving toward godhood. That may seem contradictory, since the thing we must do is achieve our short-range goal of crossing the threshold of viability, and we must do that as soon as possible, which means we must grow faster than we are growing now. And when one is faced with an urgent problem, an acute problem, one's natural tendency is to lower one's sights, forget about longer-range problems, and concentrate all one's energy on immediate things. What are we going to do about Biden? Is the important question to the short-range thinker. But what are we going to do to ensure our race exists and progresses eternally is the important question for us. Of course, the provocations the enemy presents us with almost daily are very hard to ignore. To allow the people who write the lies in the Washington Post to go unpunished, to fail to take action against the degenerates who promote racial mixing and perversion on the television networks, seems dishonorable. When one sees a racially mixed couple in public, one feels a moral obligation to do something. It is a national disgrace that Biden was not in the dock for treason 25 years ago, and that Harris is in this country at all. Even if one doesn't take some physical action in these cases, one feels compelled to shout out one's feelings to the public, to expose and condemn the malice and the greed and the foolishness which is destroying our race. One feels compelled to warn the people over and over again. One feels that one must challenge a situation in which everything rotten and degenerate is held up to praise, and everything right and good and noble is condemned. But that is exactly what we have been spending most of our time and energy doing until now. And regardless of how commendable or how justified such activity may be, it is not getting the job done well enough or fast enough. A deeper and more fundamental approach is needed. We need to get to the point where cosmotheist thinkers can command the resources and allegiance of 100,000 tithing National Alliance and cosmotheist church families, perhaps 500,000 people. Then we can launch sustained campaigns of every kind, which can be maintained in the face of all the repressive power the enemy can bring to bear against us. This is doable in the next few years if we all, including every one of you who reads National Vanguard, do our parts. Half that number are already reading National Vanguard, but too few have felt the necessity to act responsibly and put their whole lives into supporting and funding and helping us. That's what needs to happen. Under the crypto-communism of big tech and Biden, and in the aftershock of Trump's failures, it's more likely to happen now than at any time in our lives. One reason it hasn't happened yet is fear. And we'll talk about overcoming that fear on our next program.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kind of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just to dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they say, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. and the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.